have so many songs that are actual sermons in themselves, like that last one, the Savior's knocking at your door. And he's knocking at everybody's door if they will just take heed unto it and listen. I want to read a little bit in the Book of Mormon on page 167. And this is at a time when he was discussing the place that he would, when it was given to by Nephi to Jacob to write upon them. And he tells a little bit about what he will write, I believe. The book will start with the fourth verse there. And if there be preaching which was sacred, or revelation which was great, or prophesying, that I should engrave the heads of them upon these plates, and touch upon them as much as it were possible, for Christ's sake, and for the sake of the people. For because of faith and great anxiety, it truly had been made manifest unto us concerning our people, what things should happen unto them. These things had been made manifest unto them, so that they might know these things ahead of time. And we also had many revelations, and the spirit of much prophecy. Wherefore we knew of Christ and his kingdom which should come. And this is, as I recall, about 600 years before Christ. And they knew of these things which was going to happen. Wherefore, we labored diligently among our people that we might persuade them to come unto Christ and partake of the goodness of God, that they might enter into the rest, into his rest, lest by any means he should swear in his wrath they should not enter in as in the day of provocation, in the days of temptation, while the children of wilderness of Israel were in the wilderness. They labored diligently with these people to teach them the gospel and to persuade them to come unto Christ. For they were afraid that the same thing might happen to them that happened to the Israelites as they went out of Egypt. And if we recall what happened there, the people went out, and very likely within 10 or 15 or 20 days, if they had been righteous, could have been to their destination. And likely no longer than a couple of months at the very most. But they turned away from the Lord and didn't follow after his ways and refused to do the things that he had commanded them. Consequently, they wandered 40 years in the wilderness. All of them that were to the age of accountability of 20 years or older, except two, died and did not enter into the promised land. Now these people were aware of this thing, and they were frightful that this same thing could happen to them. And it comes to my mind, could the same thing happen again today? I don't know whether the Lord, because we're not hearing or heeding his word at this time, whether we might wander 10 years or 15 or 40 years without being able to enter into what he might designate for us. I don't know. But I'll assure you that if he tells us something, we want to be sure to follow after. Wherefore, we would to God that we should persuade all men not to rebel against God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could persuade all men not to rebel against God? To provoke him to anger, but that all men who believe in Christ and view his death and suffering his cross and bear the shame of the world. Therefore I, Jacob, take it upon my me to fulfill the commandment of my brother Nephi. Yes, if we could just persuade all people not to rebel against God and that they might come unto him. Now, if we know of the word of the Lord and we follow after it, I don't believe it's too hard to follow. And I remember one time Ron was telling about up there at Colburn that he used a tin horse to feed with, to feed his cattle. And as they would go out through the field, when the snow got deep, they could follow that ridge. And with their feet, they could feel it, and they could follow after it, and they didn't fall off. But if you, not knowing where it was, if you stepped to one side or the other, or if you'd have been on a tractor, you would have slipped off and you would have been stuck. But those horses knew where the path was, and they were able to follow it. And we can follow the same similar path, if we know where it's at, in the scriptures. And we have a guide here that tells us the way to go. We have two of them. We can follow, take either, and we can follow that path. So a lot of people might not be able to find it. But if you have these books, you can follow after them. And if you follow in that path and don't drag one side or the other, you can get along pretty good. And I'll assure you that it's a lot easier to stay on that narrow path than it is to get back upon it. I think that it's probably a lot of you seen the paper today, and it showed a picture of Miss Chatfield and a group of her students, I think it's a 1916 class over here at Fair Park School. And here all of them are sitting on a long slide. So apparently they've had slides for a good many years. I don't know how many years before that they had them in a schoolyard. You can only get up on one of them slides, and if you ever turn loose, you're right at the bottom once you get here from them. But don't take long to go down. Did you ever try to follow up one of them? Well, I think most of us, all boys have. It's pretty difficult to follow up the slide. It's the same way with the gospel. As long as you are on that top path, that narrow path, and don't turn and fall off, you get along pretty good. But as soon as you start down, it's pretty difficult to return. I don't say it's difficult, because you can do it. But it's a lot easier to stay up there and not turn and head down and fall away from the Lord. I want to go over here into the 17th chapter of Alma for a few verses. And here are some verses again that have been read fairly recently. And I don't know how to improve on words like these here. In the 17th chapter, beginning with the 65th verse, and it says, "Now my son," and he's speaking to Helaman here, "remember that the words which I have spoken unto you, trust not those secret plans unto this people, but teach them an everlasting hatred against sin and iniquity. Preach unto them repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves and to be meek and lowly in heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil." Now that's one great important thing that a parent can do, isn't it? Teach their children to withstand the temptation of the devil. And that is anything that isn't good. And it's one important thing for everyone, and I think young people especially, is to remember never to do anything that you know to be as wrong. Oh, some people might tell you that, oh, it's all right. There isn't much wrong with it. But in our hearts, if we know it's wrong, don't participate in it. And adults, the same thing. Withstand this temptation of the devil, with the faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is important, because we've got someone to give us some strength there to help us out. Teach them never to be weary of good work. We're supposed to never be weary of good work. But to be meek and lowly in heart, for such shall find rest for their souls. Oh, remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. That tells us a lot of things that we ought to be doing. And how can you learn wisdom in your youth? I hope that a person takes these scriptures and reads through them from day to day, he can't help but gain wisdom. And if you continue doing that, the remainder of your life, you're going to have a guide to direct you and tell you what to do. I want to go over into Moroni for a few verses. In the sixth chapter to begin with. I believe I'll begin at the fourth verse here. And after they had been received unto baptism and were wrought upon and cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost, they were numbered among the people of the Church of Christ. And their names were taken, that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God, to keep them in the right way, to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who was the author and the finisher of their faith. Now, this isn't too much different from what we do today, is it? When people are baptized, we take their names and record them, and we pray for the people that are chosen. And we pray for a lot of other people also, that they might be kept in the faith, and they might steadfastly walk after the ways of the Lord. And in this next verse, I know I've read this quite a few times, but I think this is one of the most important verses we have. And the church did meet together oft to fast and to pray, and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together oft to partake of the bread and the wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. And it is important that we do associate one with another. Become stronger. I think that each one here has sat around the dinner table after they'd had dinner and oftentimes talked of the goodness of the Lord toward them. And oftentimes like that, I think that some of the greatest sermons I've ever heard have been preached right around a dinner table or in the evening when some of the ministry might be there and all of us visiting, and hear some of the most beautiful testimonies in the world. And if we hadn't been associating one with another, we wouldn't have had those, would we? And some of the, many of the times, I have gained a lot of knowledge by listening to these people that have spoken, just sitting around in our own home. I can remember Brother Jordan, when he used to come to our house. The first thing he would ask, as soon as we had finished greeting each other, he'd say, "Robert, how is things with the church? How's the members of the church getting along?" That was his first concern. And from that time until he left, his main concern was discussing things of the Lord. And that's the way it should be. I want to read a little bit over in the seventh chapter here. Beginning in the, I believe it's the second verse here. And now I, Moroni, speak unto you, my beloved brethren. And it was by the grace of God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, and his holy will, because of his gift, of his calling unto me, that I am permitted to speak unto you at this time. Therefore I will speak unto you that are of the church, that are the peaceable followers of Christ, and that have obtained a sufficient hope by the which you can enter into the rest of the Lord from this time henceforth until you shall rest with him in heaven. And now, my beloved, I judge these things of you because of your peaceable walk with the children of men. Now, that's one way to tell what a person is like, isn't it? A peaceable walk with a fellow man. For I remember the word of God which said, by their works ye shall know them. For if their works be good, then they are good also. Now this is pretty evident, isn't it? If the people's works are good, they are good also. And we should live such a life that the people round about us might take note of this also. That they can recognize, and believe me, they do. They recognize whether we're good or bad. And we are amazing continually, day after day, by all those round about us, in the way that we live. And if we seek after the ways of the Lord and are humble, our lives are going to be an example before those that we come in contact with. I want to go back over into Alma for another verse or two. In the 16th chapter, and I believe I'll be beginning with the 29th verse. And now, as I said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech unto you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh night, the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. Yea, ye cannot say, when ye are brought to that awful crisis, that I will repent, that I will return to my God. And we know this is a fact, that we can't make this statement, for we don't know when we might go. Or we know of so many people that are taken by accident, and they just simply haven't got that much time. No, you cannot say this, for that same spirit which just possessed your body at the time that you go out of this life, that same spirit will have power to possess your body in the eternal world. So you can pretty well figure out of yourself what kind of a person you are and what maybe what chances you might have of reaching eternal life. We know ourselves whether we're being justly one with another. And if we are laboring to keep the commandments of the Lord, for behold, if you have procrastinated the day of your repentance, even until death, behold, you have become subject of the spirit of the devil, and he that feels you his. Now that's pretty plain, isn't it? That's what's going to happen. He can feel you here. Therefore, the Spirit of the Lord hath withdrawn from you, and hath no place in you, and the devil hath all power over you, and this is the final state of the wicked. And this I know because the Lord hath said, he dwelleth not in an holy temple, but in the heart of the righteous that he dwells. Yea, And he has also said that the righteous shall set down in his kingdom and go out no more, but their garments should be made white through the blood of the Lamb. And it's quite a promise unto the people. That if we are righteous, we're going to be found in his presence in that last day. And we have got to strive continually to stay on that straight and narrow path. I want to read a few verses in the Ephesians here. The fourth chapter, and I believe I'll begin with about the 22nd verse. Now, this is another one of those chapters that a fella had ought to read once in a while. It gives me quite a bit of information. Put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And as you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. What is it we read over here in Alma? That if we followed after him in that last day, we would be here. It says here, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hand the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. In other words, that which we would say might be able to help others. And the rest of this chapter is well to read from time to time. But I believe I'll go over here to Colossians for a few verses. In the third chapter, I believe I'll begin with the 12th verse. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Now this is very important, isn't it, that we forgive one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgive you, so also do ye. I know I read an article in a book that told us people, this author of this book was telling about people that had held grudges against other people. And it said actually they had cut themselves out from a lot of happiness, because if they had refused to associate with a certain person, because it was something that had happened years and years before, if they could have but forgiven each other, they could have had, in many cases, happiness and joy together, and friendship. But some people absolutely refuse to forgive anyone when they have done something against them. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. I think that Harvey read it something like this a few weeks ago, whether it was from this verse here or some other verses. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Now it does say here, admonishing one another. Now I could imagine here that if we know something that someone's doing this wrong, that we are sufficiently meek and our hearts are full of charity, that we should go to that brother or sister and tell them what we think they're doing wrong. But I don't believe that if we do this, that if they disagree with us, that we should hold a grudge against them and them against us and not speak anymore. But if we feel something is wrong, I think it's our duty to say something. But above all, do it with meekness and kindness. And if we are right, it may help the brother. But if they don't take the advice either, we shouldn't hold it against them or them against us. I want to turn over here to Galatians for a couple of verses. And again, this is another chapter in the sixth chapter of Galatians that gives us lots of information, a way we could live and things we could do. I believe I'll start with the second verse here. And I won't read the whole chapter, but a person ought to read that from time to time. So bear you one another's burdens. And how important this is. How many times have we had someone come and help us with some of our burdens? Now it might be mental, it might be physical, or it might be temporal. I know last summer when the roof flew off of my bunkhouse and Marvin came down and helped me put it on, it sure helped me with some of my burdens, I know that. And I've had other times when I've had other things come up that I needed someone to pray for. And maybe I've not even told them what it was about, but people have prayed for me or for my problems. So it is very important that we bear one another's burdens. But, you know, many times we are helped to tell someone of our burdens. We keep them to ourselves. And I think that this is a mistake. We should let people know what our problems are oftentimes. And they too can pray about them with us. And it might be surprising how often when you tell someone of your burdens, but they may have a solution for it. Maybe they've gone through the same thing and they know what to do. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if any man thinks himself to do something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. And let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. For he that soweth to his place shall of the place reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary of well-doing, for in due season we shall reach if we faint not. And we have therefore, as we have therefore opportunity, let us rejoice to all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith, telling us what we should do. To be good to all men, and especially those of the household of faith. One reason we can do it at a household of faith is because we can discuss these things one with another, and we can help one another. And I don't know whether you've ever noticed, if we do these things and if we keep the commandments, we are a happier people. If we know that we haven't done what was right sometime, did you ever notice how it bothers us? I know that it bothers me if I know that I haven't done as well as I could by someone. But if we keep the commandments, we're a happier people. And if we continue to keep the commandments, they become easier to keep. I don't care what it is. If we're working mathematics, the more we practice at it, the easier it is. And if you get away from it, you forget it. I know that when I was in school, one of the things they taught us in mathematics was how to figure how many tons of hay is in a haystack. I didn't have the slightest idea how to figure it now. I rather might be able to figure that. I don't know. I know I did it one time. But I said now, but when I was in the eighth grade, that was in our eighth grade arithmetic book. It told us how to do that. And at that time, I could have done it. Now, if I'd have kept working with that, I could still do it. But I forgot. It's the same way with the scriptures. But if we keep working with it and studying it and using it and practicing it, it's not too hard to do. But as soon as you get away from it, it's hard to remember. It's hard to follow up. So it is important that we follow after the words of the Lord and try to stay on that straight path that we might not be found wanting in that last day. And I always get comes back to my mind of those children of Israel wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And if they had done what the Lord told them to do, that probably around 3.5 million people could have went into that land that was promised to them, maybe even a month. Maybe less than that. It might have been too much. But as it was, everyone over that 20 years old died except 2 months. And I think that's a lesson that all of us should consider, that we have the tools here to work with. And we know the direction we should go. And we should do everything we can to follow after that way, that we might be found in His face at the time that it needs to be.